How y'all doing tonight?
Great, brother.
Now, I know the ladies on this side are doing great, because they told me so already. Well, I didn't ask everybody if they were doing great, but we're all doing great, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
We should be doing great when we realized how blessed that we are and what God has given and done for us. And I'm happy to see all of you, every one of you. I really am. I know that this is a Monday night, and we don't generally meet on Monday night, and there's a lot of things that you could be doing, and some people, I think, have chosen to do those things. I know it's Monday night football night. It's not a real good game tonight as far as I'm concerned, but maybe you think so, but eating some hot wings and watching football, maybe that is what some people would choose to do. But we are ambassadors.
Amen.
And we don't look at things the way that the world looks at things. Stanley and I have been talking about this. Stanley's been preaching this, that we have got to approach our lives every day and emphasize our spiritual nature.
Amen.
That is what being an ambassador is. It's a spiritual thing.
Yes,
and, you know, we're not ambassadors to the UN. What we have is much, much more important than that. We, read the text, we speak for God. Now, I'm not saying that we reveal Scripture. We do reveal what God has revealed to us to others, but we don't have new revelation. There's nothing new, but we speak for God, it tells us. So we need to know what we're talking about. And we've discovered over these nearly 9 months, if you can believe it, in this same passage, we've discovered so much about being an ambassador that there's so much involved in it. And so I started thinking about my ambassadorship and that we need to, this is the title of the lesson if you like it, we need to as ambassadors to have vision. You know what I mean when I say have vision? Vision is being able to see that which isn't here yet. See ahead, you know, look for things that are coming. And, you know, we can all do that. We can all have vision. Some of us more than others, but we can all have vision and we can see things that the world can't see because God has revealed things to us that the world hasn't considered. And one of the things, as we have our vision, one of the things that we need to see is there is a great day coming. You hear me? There's a great day coming. Now, for those of us who are truly ambassadors, in the sense that we think of the word great, it will be great.
That's right.
But it's going to be a great day, even for those who might not be happy with the results. It's a great day. It's going to be a day of judgment. Make no mistake. And I am so glad that I don't have to make any of the judgments. I trust in God for that. And I know God will make the right judgment. It'll be a day of reckoning. It'll be a day when justice will prevail. Now, I can hear some people thinking, boy, I just can't wait till some of those people get theirs. Well, now settle down. We are one of those people, all right? But the difference is we have the blood of Christ and we can take advantage of the mercy and we don't have to receive the justice that is due us. I don't want justice. I want the mercy of God, and so do you. And so justice will prevail, though. It will prevail and evil will be punished. Make no mistake. I hear people say, well, and you can put the name connected with it, any name that comes to mind, but how can they just keep getting away with this? They don't. Nobody gets away with anything. And the reality is, more times than not, you pay for your evil in this life.
That's right.
But if you don't, rest assured, on that day of reckoning, God will deal with those evildoers and they will be punished. But righteousness. See, we're righteous, right? Don't say no. Don't say, I don't know. Well, maybe. No, we are righteous. Not because we're good, not because we don't sin, but because God has set us apart. God removes our sin, and righteousness will be rewarded. We have a covenant with God, a special thing.
That's right.
It'll be a day when we will be seen, when everyone will be seen as they really are. Well, is that a little scary?
Yeah.
I know none of you can see me exactly like I really am.
That's right.
But God does.
That's right.
And on that day when they stand before God, they're going to know. It's almost going to be like you don't have any clothes on, right? God's going to see it all. He knows. And it can be frightening. Now, Solomon said, for God will bring every deed into judgment. It's Ecclesiastes 2:14. And Solomon said, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Now, I'm going to say for me, and I'm going to guess for you too, I got some hidden things. Not from God, of course, but some hidden things in my life. There are some things that I've done in my life that you don't know about.
Amen.
And you know what? If I have my way about it, you never will know about some of the things I've done. I am ashamed of some of the things I've done. And I don't want to tell you. And you probably have some of those things too. But rest assured, God will see every hidden thing. Now, indeed, a time is coming when we will stand before the throne of God. Now, I know you're probably doing the same thing I am. There's a physical image that just comes into my head. Ain't going to be like that. But go ahead. That's all we have. That's all we can do. We're going to stand before the throne of God and be judged for how we lived in this life.
That's right.
And I'm looking out there and let's see. Yeah, everybody's still living. I hope you get through this sermon and you're still alive at the end. But you're going to be judged for how you lived your life. Now, I was thinking just before I got up here, wow, what if I'm judged just by how I've lived my life right up to this moment, right now? Judgment day comes, where do I stand? Where do you stand? You ready? You gonna be okay? Some of you, if you are answering, well, I'm not sure, you're not gonna be okay. You are not gonna be okay. God's people know they're saved.
Yes, sir.
We know it. And it's not a thing of arrogance. It's not even close to arrogance. I've done nothing to be saved. God has done it all. He's shown me every step that I need to take to avail myself to His grace. He's done it all. But if you do answer, well, I hope He doesn't come now. Or if you answer, I'm not sure, here's the good news. You got the rest of your life. It might be short now. It's urgent. I don't mean to say that it's not urgent, but you got the rest of your life. If it ain't right, it only takes a minute, a few minutes at most, to be right. Isn't that good?
Amen.
So if we didn't get it right all the way up to now, we still can.
Right.
Now, I'm going to change the course just slightly here, because I want to say something here that's kind of going to lead into where I want to go. And I think this is a good time to say it. We don't want to, a time is coming, I got to say this, motive. That's where I want to go. I'm getting tangled up here, but I knew it was important. It's motive. We know what that is, right? Now, motive, when I was studying this, the lesson that I borrowed this from, the author of that lesson said, motive is everything. Well, I don't think motive is everything, but I think motive is half of one side of a coin. I think motive is very important. And if we're going to get to heaven, our motives are important. It's the reason why, right? That's what motive is. The reason why we do whatever it is that we do is at least as equally important as what we do. It really is. Now, I don't want to stand before God having practiced my religion by the letter. And I don't know if you know what I mean. I don't mean that doctrine's not important. I want to get it right. But I don't want to be so caught up into the rules that I forget what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Okay. You know, it's like some people, they have a checklist. So they check off all of the things and all of the boxes are checked. And that's the objective. That's what their life is about, is checking off the boxes. That's the wrong motive. That's the wrong motive. God has there's a spirit to God's law. It's not about just checking off the check marks. We don't want to stand before God with improper motives. Now, the Bible teaches some truths that I want us to look at here, if we can, real quickly. We know this because or at least you've heard it, because I've heard it. We come here at least 3 times a week. Well, some of us come here at least 3 times a week. But we can know the truth. We must know the truth. And we can stand for the truth. I can stand for the truth. I can stand up here and preach the truth. I can defend the truth. But if my motive is wrong, you know what? Counts for nothing. It is absolutely no good. I would be in serious jeopardy if my motive is wrong and I stand before God and tell Him all of the things that I did, and God says, well, why'd you do it? Well, I needed to check the box, right? Motive is important. Now, Paul addresses this in a very familiar passage in Corinthians 13. We're used to this passage. And he says that we can know truth. We can have all knowledge about the truth. And we can. We can teach the truth. We can know Scripture as to understand every single verse. We can have faith. Faith is important, isn't it? And we can have faith so as to move mountains. We can give everything that we have, all that we possess, to the poor. And you know what? We can even die, we think, for the cause of Christ. But if we do not have the right motive, and in this case, Paul's motive is love, right? And I would submit to you that in every case, if you boil it down to what lies under, it's always about love. That's what motivates us to do what's right. See, it's not checking the boxes. We should be doing what we do because we love God. Amen. And it pleases Him. That's it. Now, I know what the doctrine says, and me following the rules that God has laid down pleases God. That's why I do it, you know, no other reason. Paul says that it gains us nothing if our motive is wrong. So, motive cannot be seen. You look at me right now, you have no idea what motivates me. Maybe I'm up here just because I like attention, right? Maybe I'm up here because people say nice things to me afterwards. Maybe that's my motive. You don't know that, do you? You cannot see. And I will say, some preachers don't have the right motive. Some don't. Being a preacher doesn't guarantee it. So it's possible to live a lie. We talked Sunday morning, yesterday morning in class, about lying a little bit. You can live a lie. You don't have to open your mouth. You can pretend to be a Christian. And all the while, you'd rather be eating hot wings and watching Monday Night Football. You can fool yourself. But on that great day, how our neighbor lived, how the eldership did their job, what the preacher stood for, or what he stood against, or what the church down the street taught or didn't teach, it's just not going to be important when you stand before God and He looks you in the eye and says, give account of yourself. All of those things that we talk about, other people, it's not going to matter. They'll answer. They'll answer. The only thing that will matter is our relationship with the Lord. If you have a good relationship with the Lord, that's the day you're looking forward to. That's the day you want to see. But if your relationship with the Lord is not right, if your motivation is wrong, then you have to ask yourself, are you living the truth? Okay, a few points, I'll be done. First thing now, and this is so elementary, is it's a certainty. There's not, you know, people say, well, death and taxes is a certainty. Well, you know, death's not a certainty. Lord could come right now, and you're not dead. Isn't that right? You may not die. You'll be changed if He comes. So death is not a certainty. But you know, probably you're going to die. Okay? But it's not a certainty. People say taxes are a certainty. But I look around, I see an awful lot of people don't pay them. You know? So it's a certainty for me. And probably you too, but maybe not for everybody. There's nothing in this world that of a physical nature that's a certainty. But that day is coming. It's a certainty. And it's urgent that we realize that. Paul says in Acts 17:31, for God has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. That man would be Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 9:27, just as a man is destined to die once and after that to face the judgment. Now, I just mentioned that that's if He doesn't come before we die. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, even though we acknowledge this, and I know looking out there, we all believe this. We acknowledge that this is true. The idea of judgment. But for some reason, we tend to ignore the certainty of it. We tend to live as if it's not certain. And I think we've been influenced by the world that we live in. That the way they live and they think, we begin to think that the things that work in this world, we see our justice system, and we see people wiggle out of it. Happens, don't it? People that should be condemned by our justice system are not. And every once in a while, somebody that shouldn't be condemned is condemned. It's not right, it's not fair, but we're human beings, and human beings are corrupt, and they mess things up, and so those things happen. But it's the best we got. But God, it's a certainty that His judgment will be right. It will be fair. It's an appointment that you're going to keep. You're not going to be able to phone up the dentist. I've been known to do this the day before and say, man, you know, I really don't want to do this. I think I can postpone this appointment, right? I don't want to keep this appointment. Or you might not do it on purpose. Maybe you just forget. Ever forget an appointment? I have. You're not going to forget this one. I'll put it this way. It doesn't matter if you forget it. God will be there. God will get you. He'll get you to that appointment. You won't be late. The question now, the only question is, are you ready for it? Are you ready? Are you prepared to stand before God? And you have to answer that for yourself. Now, another thing I want you to think about here now. God protects His people. He does. He takes care of His people. We can be spared from God's wrath. And I want to be. I've seen what God can do when God's angry. I don't want to, you know, bear the wrath of God. Amen. Now, Peter, in 2 Peter 2, beginning around verse 4 and on on down, he says some things about God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, placing them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. God did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah. Noah wasn't killed by that flood. Noah was God's. He destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I'm thinking they all died, but you recall Lot had a chance to escape. God provided that. Now, he had to obey God. When God said get, he had to get. And he said don't look back, and he didn't. But Mrs. Lot, unfortunately, did, all right? What God says is important, right? It's important. But Lot escaped God's wrath. He rescued him and his family. Listen now. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly, you know. We are not going to just get tangled up with the ungodly and just inadvertently be lost. If we're lost, it's because we are the ungodly, right? God's people can be in the middle of them, and they will be judged righteously. They will be saved. God protects his people. Even when the Lord is executing judgment on the godly, ungodly, he protects us. So much could be said here, but I'm not going to because time is really moving along here. Let's go back to, there's a couple more thoughts here. One, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, but they must be in the Lord. We have a hard time with that, don't we? I've had loved ones passed, and loved ones that I'm not the judge, but I feel that God is going to save them, or they are saved. But even feeling that in my heart, I still miss them. You know, I'm kind of fickle. I'm a human being. I don't want people I love to not be around in this world anymore. But isn't that what we're supposed to be ready for? Isn't that what we're preparing for? And if it happens sooner rather than later, is that not a blessing for the person that's righteous? Of course it is, but I have a hard time with that. And maybe you do too. But God saves who he saves. And he protected Noah, seven others. He rescued Lot and his family. He knows how to do it. Now, those who die in the Lord, they will rest from their labors and their deeds. Now, we're changing course just a little bit here. Their deeds will follow them. Jesus gave us more than one judgment parable. And I'm only going to look at one, though, right now from Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited, saying, the time is here. Come to the banquet. But they refused. So he sent his servants into the streets, the highways, the byways, to invite everybody they could find, both good and bad, to come to the feast. All those who came were to wear wedding clothes. What you wearing? You're invited. You're invited to the feast. It's coming. It's that same day we're talking about. What are you wearing now? What you're wearing now may be what you're wearing then. When one was found without proper dress, the king separated him from the others in judgment and cast him outside into darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. So how are we dressed? Are you dressed for judgment? Our text says we must be in the Lord. In the Lord. Have you thought about that? Have you ever been in something? You could go down into that pool when it's filled up and you'd be in the pool. Pool would be all around you. If you're in the Lord, you're in Him. You're wearing Him, right? Is that Bible, you think? In Galatians 3, 26 and 27, Paul tells us how to get into Christ, how we become properly dressed so we'll be dressed correctly on that day. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Put Him on, right? Have been clothed with Christ, if the rest of it isn't plain enough. When I stand before the judgment seat, I want to have Christ on. I want Him covering me so that my sins won't be counted. See? He took care of it. He's got me inside of Him there. And you want to go ahead and judge Christ? Go ahead. I'm in Him. Judge Him. You're okay if you're in Him.
That's right.
But you got to be wearing Him. There is no way to miss Paul's point here, that we get into Christ by faith and baptism. People try to make it more complicated than that, but it's not. That's what Paul said. These two things dress us for His coming. Now I have to ask, are you a child of God? I think all of you here are. You might not be. I don't know. Are you a child of God? Have you been born again of water and spirit? I pray that you have, but if not, you're invited to do this. You're invited tonight. You're always invited. The invitation is open. You're invited to the feast. Now get dressed. Put on Christ. Just told you how to do it. If you got faith in Him, go down in the water. It could be arranged. It could be done this evening. Now the second basis for judgment, this is the other side of the coin now. We talked about motive earlier. It's our deeds, what we do. First motive, then our deeds. Our text indicates that heaven's rest is because of good works. And I as I was thinking this over, that heaven's rest, some of us don't need rest because we haven't done anything. Not tired. I don't need to go to heaven and rest, right? If you haven't done anything, are you tired? Well, okay, sometimes I am, but that's the physical, right? But spiritually, if you haven't done anything, you don't need any rest. I want to go to heaven and rest because I'm tired. This idea is affirmed by Jesus in His parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. He says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous Lord said, When did you see in these predicaments? And Jesus said, as often as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. So we can see what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about doing something. Now, we already covered motive. You can do these things with the wrong motive, it won't matter. But listen, we got the motive, all right? We know we're doing it because we love God. Well, now we got to do it. You see what I mean? If you don't do it, it doesn't matter if you love God. In fact, you don't love God if you don't do it. All right. To those who did not respond to the people they saw in need, Jesus said, these will go away into eternal punishment. Church, are we listening to the conclusion of Jesus' remarks here? What we do, how we interact, how we treat one another is the deeds. Those are the good works. And not just one another body in the body Christians. Others, all others. Do you have a responsibility to your brother? You bet you do.
Amen.
That, and we don't really do that well. I'm going to say here, you know, some of us do it well, but in order for the body to function like it ought to, almost everybody needs to be doing it. Everybody's doing it, it'll be great. But, you know, we're just not. So if we're not doing it here, I'm not real smart, but I'm pretty sure you're not doing it out there either. Because it's easy here. It's not easy out there. Others, how we treat others, and we say, well, you know, yeah, this. Well, you know what? That's what you're doing to the Lord. That's how much you love Him. You say, I'm motivated by his love. I love him. Really? Do you see it? Some of us don't see it. You know, I can hear him say, righteousness is bound up in how we treat others. It's tied to that. Listen to Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I hear people all the time wondering what the meaning of life is. What am I here for? Did you read that? You're here to do good works. You're here to serve other people. You're here to treat other people good. Why? Because you love God. So you're here to love God too. That's how you're able to do this. Because you know what? Some of those people that we're to do good works for, they're pretty despicable. They're not kind. They probably or might not even appreciate the good work. Many do, but they might not, you know. In fact, they might knock you in the head and take your money, but it doesn't relieve us of our responsibility to treat others good. That's what we were here for, he says. And not only does he say that, he says that he prepared in advance these good works for us to do. That tells me that before I was born, God knew I was going to be born, and he had some good works set aside for just me to do. And you know what? If I don't do those, they won't get done. Stanley ain't going to do it because he can't. God gave him his own work. And I can't do that. But you got your good deeds that God has given you to do. And if you love God and you expect to stand before the judgment seat and have God say, well done. See, done is a word that implies having done something. In order to say, well done, you have got to have done something. That would be deeds. That would be work. It was Jesus who said that the greatest in God's kingdom, which would be the church, we know that, right? The greatest in the church, in this church, okay, if you will be the servant of all. The servant of all, Mark 9:35. Are we trying to be great in the church but some other method? Maybe we're trying to be great by teaching classes. Boy, I sure wish we had more class teachers. But that isn't going to make us great. You know, it's part of it. It is serving. It is serving. But that alone, like I say, motive is involved. But we've got to reach out. We've got work to do. Work that God has given us. We got to serve all people. And so if we're trying to do it some other way, then we've got the wrong motive. And we'll never be great. You might think you're great. The world's full of people that think that they're great, but they're not. When we never help feed the poor or give a drink to the thirsty, when we never greet or welcome the stranger, when we never give clothing to the needy, when we never visit the hospitals or nursing homes, when we never make an effort to minister to those in jail and in prison, when we, now this is, you might be thinking, well, I'm stepping on your toes. I'm all over my own toes, all right? I don't fulfill all of the things on this list as I should. Some of them not at all. That's the truth, isn't it? I could lie about it, but you know it. When we go through the foyer there, when we meet together, intentionally ignoring a brother or a sister, when you purposely sit over here because you know they sit over there and you don't want to have to see them face to face, right? We don't, when we gossip or we belittle others. And sometimes when we wrongly judge others, be careful with judgment now. Amen. Just be careful with it. We're doing the same thing to Jesus. I'm sitting over there, and Jesus is sitting over here, and I don't want to look in his face. Is that what it teaches us? go through the foyer. Oh, here they come. I got to get in and sit down because they might walk by me, right? That's Jesus. How do you treat Jesus? And this behavior, public or secret, it's going to come and visit us on Judgment Day. God will know that. One last point. How we die is how we're judged. Now, if I understand the Bible correctly, and you can correct me if I got this wrong, if we die before the Lord returns, our eternal fate is sealed. There's nothing between death and Judgment Day that can change, ever will change, our eternal destiny. When you're gone, there's nothing I can do or anybody else can do to affect that. So are we living with proper motive? Are we cognizant of the fact that Judgment Day really is in our future? So where does this invitation, and that's what this is, not mine, God invites us every single day, whether we're here or not, to get it right, to make the changes you need to make. So where does this invitation find you? Where does it find me? Do we have something that needs correction before Judgment Day? If we do, you know what? Needs correction now. Judgment Day we might not get through this service. Don't gamble like that. No matter how safe you think that it might be. Your soul is too precious. And you don't know what's going to happen. And when you die, whatever's going to happen has already happened. So do we have something that needs correcting before Judgment Day? Wherever this invitation may find you, I invite you, I implore you to respond as we sing together.